All right, everybody, good morning. Another great show today. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're listening to You're the Cure. We've got some guests in studio. We're actually pre-recording this today, and I'm super excited about our topic. Lots of things in the news, which I don't really listen to the news, but from what I do hear, a lot of negative, a lot of dark, a lot of down. Just want y'all to know there's hope, and the hope's not in me and not in men. But the hope is in the fact that God, who created this whole thing, still sits on the throne. God created this earth and gave it to us to steward, to rule righteously, to make decisions based off the benefit of those under our authority. We're going to talk about that today. I think it's pretty clear there's some folks in charge, or appear to be in charge of the earth, that don't hold the same belief systems we hold. Or that I hold for sure, and the men sitting in this room and on the telephone today hold. And so they can believe what they want to believe, and they can try to steward the earth the way they think they need to steward the earth. But that doesn't keep us from seeking the Lord in what we're supposed to be doing. And then doing it. Be doers of the word. I'm going to start with a little intro of a guy I've been really listening to a lot of, just to try to get a better understanding. And you know, I'm not attacking him. He has his thoughts and beliefs. That's fine. I don't know his background, how he grew up and all that, but he's been very, very vocal lately. And he's a chief advisor to Klaus Schwab, who wrote a book, COVID-19, The Great Reset. And they're not bashful about just telling us all what their plan is. And when you read it, it becomes real clear. All these guys, they really believe we evolved out of nothing, pond scum. We're just a highly evolved species now, but if we can integrate ourselves with some technology, we can be even more efficient. And this is the way we need to deal with our agricultural issues, our climate issues, our healthcare issues, our people issues, government issues, everything. They have their version and their belief system of how to steward the earth. Yuval Noah Harari is who I'm talking about. I'm going to read you a few quotes from him. Quote, if you have enough data and computing power, you can understand people better than they understand themselves. And then you can manipulate them in ways that were previously impossible. Humans are now hackable animals. Another quote, the whole idea that humans have this soul or spirit and free will, that's over. We need to come to terms with that fact. Another quote, what's the world look like when it's dominated by super intelligent but non-conscious algorithms? We are in the process of turning ourselves into gods, and I mean this in the most literal sense possible. It's not a metaphor. The revolution in information technology will make dictatorships more efficient than democracies. I think that the biggest question in economics and politics will be, what will we do with all the useless people? The problem is more boredom and what to do with them and how will they find some sense of meaning in life when they are basically meaningless, worthless. My best guess at present is a combination of drugs and computer games. Another quote, science is not really about truth, it's about power. Another quote, I think maybe in a couple of decades when people look back, they will think, this is the moment that everything went digital. And everyone agreed to be surveyed at all times. And maybe most importantly of all, this is the moment surveillance started going under the skin. And then the most obvious quote that makes it clear he has a whole different belief system. Quote, I mean, all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news. That is Yuval Noah Harari, chief advisor to Klaus Schwab, author of the book, COVID-19, The Great Reset. Here's what the Book of Truth says that I base my living and believing and decisions off of. 1 Corinthians 1:19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and frustrate the intelligence of the intelligent. And I'm not saying these guys aren't super intelligent, but there's an intelligence coming only from man's perspective, not seeking the supernatural perspective through the Holy Spirit, as my belief system would instruct us to do. Another, Luke 10:21, thank you because you concealed all the things from the sophisticated and educated, yet revealed them to ordinary people. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. So I believe there is wisdom from the Creator that can be communicated to us through His written word and through revelation through the Holy Spirit. He charged his sons and daughters on the earth to steward, to rule righteously. And we're going to talk about that today. We have abdicated that responsibility in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to medical care, when it comes to caring for animals, when it comes to caring for land, for plants, for creation. There's a way to do it in a righteous manner, and there's a way to do it with the root of all evil, the love of money coming into play, or a fear. You know, these guys, Bill Gates is fearful that there's too many people in the earth and we need to have less people in the earth. Others are fearful that the oxygen and CO2 and all this climate stuff. Others are fearful that there's just going to be social unrest and we need to manipulate this population. So it's based out of fear. It's based out of an orphan mentality too, in my opinion. So what can we do about it? There's a lot we can do about it. Personally, we got to just seek the truth. We got to die to ourselves more every day. And that's the key to this whole thing. If we know securely who we are, and that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and will provide for us, protect us. Our identity is seated in Him. He created each of us with a purpose. Before you were in your mama's womb, He knew you, set you apart, put a call on your life, gave you gifts to support the call. That call is without recall. It's in you. It ain't coming out. And when you can walk in that calling, you'll be at peace. And when you can die to your own ways and your own thinking and your own desires and your own, and it's usually rooted in these fears. I got to provide for myself, got to protect myself. I don't know who I am. I've got to people please everybody because this, you know, we can go on and on about all that. But we need to get to the point because I got some guys here that have a lot to say. I met a guy through a friend of a friend, and I'll let Ryan Burris tell this story. And we've had Ryan on the show before. If you remember back, I don't know, Ryan, it's been a year or so, but Ryan was living in New Zealand with his wife and young family. A good friend of his from Australia was with him in New Zealand. They basically fled when COVID restrictions were getting super tight and it was looking like there may be no way out, and they came back to America, to the land of the free. Turns out we're not as free as we thought. But anyways, Ryan's historically, he's from Austin. He's a developer, but he's also a lover of the truth and a lover of God, Jesus, and the way. And he's making his way to Lubbock, Texas. He's felt called to actually the regenerative agriculture movement and the West Texas area in particular. Now, he's not a farmer, he's not a rancher, but he's a land developer. And again, he loves the truth. And he's seeking out others who love the truth with the whole desire to make decisions on righteous rule and stewardship of land and resources for his kids. And not just his kids, but all of us, all our kids, grandkids. So we're talking a big, big vision here. Restoration of topsoil, restoration of the aquifer, restoration of our food. And as we know, listeners of this show know, the food's directly related to your health, the nutrient values of that food, and the toxicity values of that food. So this is all interconnected. We can't get away from the agricultural thing. We can't get away from climate stuff, environmental stuff, stewardship of resources, including people and our giftings. So we're trying to bring all this to the table and actually do something. So I brought Ryan. We've got Richard Smith in the room today. We got Chad Wall in the room. Also both previous guests on the show, friends of the show, friends of mine, brothers in Christ. So the four of us are going to talk today about this call that we feel led to pursue on trying to bring health and restoration and wellness to West Texas. And this is not to condemn farmers. It's not to I try not to condemn doctors. And as I've said in the medical side, it's a system issue. This system has not been set up in a kingdom way. And we are hundreds of years down the road of this. And we are so entangled and entrapped by this thing. And it's like it's a sticky spider web. It's almost impossible to get out. And I think if everyone just steps back and takes a look, we can see that. We can realize we're in a system that is not producing the best fruit. And we're kind of at a point of desperation now. So let's look for a way out. The way we're going is maybe hadn't been super great, but we're stuck. It seems like we're stuck in it. So can we produce a different system? Can we steward it in a different way? So we've got Ryan Burris joining us again. He's a previous guest on our show, was living in New Zealand or just coming out of New Zealand at the time, coming back to the States. He's originally from Austin. He's a land developer and he loves the truth and he loves people and he is passionate about, regenerating land. He's not a regenerative farmer, but he's got a passion for this. So he's a leader. So he's moving. His family's moving from Austin to Lubbock, and he is going to help head up this initiative that we're going to talk about today, with the primary driving motivation of it's the right thing to do. It is the way we should steward ourselves, our land, our people, all our resources, out of love. Love God, love our neighbor, and make decisions that benefit our neighbor and creation. One last quote, Romans 8:19 through 23, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. That's what's driving this whole thing. We feel called and we feel led by our Heavenly Father in this. So Ryan, please just share as much of your background as you want, but really the initiative that we're trying to put together here on stewardship of our resources. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. Ben. First of all, I just want to give you some encouragement because you have stood up and standed and you have now taken a stand. And the reason why people don't do what you do is because it is at great cost. And so you are truly on a narrow path. And we, all of us on this call, wouldn't have some of the opportunities that we have in front of us if you wouldn't have done what you have done. So thank you for doing that. I originally from East Texas, moved to Austin in 1991, and then was married about 5 years ago on November 11th, and God called us to New Zealand. You know, the world was getting a little dicey back then, and I thought, oh, great, you know, God's getting us out of the heat. And well, we got over there, COVID happened, and it was really draconian over there. So he had he was doing something else. Let me just say that. I won't go into it all, but so we did come back. But was most interesting while we were there, a missionary friend of ours in the UK called me in New Zealand and said, hey, listen, you've been on my heart. Need to find out why. So we started talking. Within 5 minutes, we were talking about community. We were talking about regenerative agriculture. And he said, okay, that's it. I want you to meet my friends in Lubbock. And I thought, wow, regenerative agriculture in Lubbock. I was like, okay, yeah, let's talk to these guys. And so that's how I met Dr. Ben and Chad, later met Rich. And it has been a journey over the last year and a half through our discussions and how God has been leading us to do something about some of the issues that we face. You know, you mentioned Klaus Schwab and all his cronies, and they have this, you know, very, very clear one world global movement. And so, you know, my thought was this morning, I think the Lord gave me, as they're talking global, we're talking local. And I think that's where the power and the strength is going to come, because we're already seeing so much dissension. You know, there's a fracture in our culture, and as the scripture says, that divide is going to be wider. The dark will get darker, and the light will get lighter. And so, it looks like the Lord has brought us all together to make our one little stand against this one world system, and really invest in the men, women, and children. I mean, we think about our children, our grandchildren. We need to give them an opportunity. They may not take it, but we at least need to give them an opportunity to exit this system, you know, the world system, which, by the way, is very clear in the scripture that the devil's the prince of the air, that he's running these systems. You know, he gave Jesus the option to be in charge of it all, because he's in charge of it all. And of course, now, which, you know, really interesting, my conversation with Rich the other day, I never thought about it like this, is that he was giving Jesus a shortcut. He says, hey, you don't have to go through the crucifixion. You don't have to do all that pain and suffering. I'll just give it to you right now. Thank the Lord he chose the harder route for our benefit. But all that to say, these systems that are in place have really put us into a potential situation where we might not have water in the future. We're already in the situation now, which is a big reason why what Ben is doing is so important, where we're sick. And Ben can talk about the statistics on that, but children are sick. The men and women are sick. Our food is not what it used to be. And it has all, there's so many different multifaceted reasons, you know, behind that. So, what God has seemed to call us to do is to buy some land and, regenerate that. You know, my background is real estate development, rural real estate development, and how that's done is, hasn't been done, in a way that, is best for community and best for the land. So what the plan is Lord willing that we will bolt on these different, skill sets that the Lord has given us all individually as he's brought us together to help, do rural residential development better, use less water, build more efficient homes. And the farmers, Chad and Rich, to be able to regenerate the soils, bring them back. That's such a great quote that you read in Romans 8. I mean, that's it, right? All creation is groaning because it has been subjected to this curse. So all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. And since we are in Christ Jesus, that same authority we hold. And we have an identity issue in this country. And it's not, and that's obvious, right? I mean, it's like literally identity issues that we're seeing at a mass scale. But then even within the church, we don't understand the power that has been given to us. And to be able to take that power and yield that power back to break these curses, these demonic curses that have been put on our land, put on our families, put on our schools, our governments, our institutions. And we have the opportunity to stand up and stand against that, which is what Ben has been doing. And we're talking about doing that on 800 acres there in Ropesville. And so I'll let the farmers talk about exactly what that looks like on a farming side, but that's kind of a high level.
Yeah, that's perfect, Ryan. And I just want to say for the listeners, you know, we're talking about some stuff that you could interpret as scary, and that is not the point. This isn't about fear and scare or fear mongering and all that. That's what the enemy does. You know, we know who's in charge and we know who wins, and we're on the winning side, but we have to face reality. There's consequences to free will decisions that human beings have made. And if God's shown us a way to do it righteously and kingdom way, well, then let's do it. And there's the reality of, yeah, the aquifer's down, and I'll let the guys talk about that. The water situation, we just kind of keep kicking that can down the road. It'll correct itself. It ain't really going to happen. Well, no, I had a friend in Idaho, farmer, halfway through the season this year, he said, man, one of our wells quit working. I called the well guy. He worked on it and told me it was fine. And he flipped the switch and no water came out. I put a camera down and it's a dry well. And that farm's been around for 100 something years. And so he just couldn't water that side of the farm. And he was telling me historically how many wells they had on that farm and the amount of the gallons per minute that would come out of those wells and how they've had to add wells. And now they have all these different wells just to try to keep up. But even that's not producing the gallons per minute that the previous historical record showed. I mean, he's running out of water. And again, we're not saying that from a fear-based thing. And we're going to talk about solutions here in a second, give hope. And that's why we're doing this whole thing. So, Richard Smith, Chad Wall, bringing y'all into the conversation. And listeners, y'all can go back on our archive page on the website, veritasmedical.com, go to resources podcast page, and then look at the agricultural section. And you can see our previous interviews with these guys and others. There's some great, great, innovative guys out there in the agricultural space. And again, for farmers out there, we're not bashing you or the way you're doing it. It's just like medicine. You're doing what you got to do. We're hoping that this, what we're talking about today, will resonate with you and draw you out in any which way you can, even if it's a tiny step. That's how I started, just a tiny step. So, Richard, I know you have some thoughts on this. I was looking at an email you composed the other day, kind of laying out this whole initiative. So maybe you could walk through some of that or anything else, that thoughts that you have after this first part of the conversation with Ryan.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Ben. The thing that came to mind first was I was just thinking about one of the military leaders that came to Jesus and said, hey, my servant's sick. Would you heal him? And Jesus said, yeah, take me to him. And he said, you don't need to come with me. I'm a man under authority too. I know how it works. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this one, come, and he comes. And Jesus says, wow. I mean, I've not seen this kind of faith in Israel. But this guy's recognizing how spiritual authority works, the ability to act. It has to do with coming under a greater authority. And just thinking about, this is all really about, you know, spiritual authority and who we come under. And when we recognize, even agriculturally or any aspect of life, whether it's your marriage, your family, your business, agriculture, real estate development, I mean, but especially things that deal with natural cycles, you can really see that coming under God's authority and saying, hey, how did God create this to work? And then coming into agreement with the way that God created things to work, which, you know, we use different terms for that, like biomimicry, recognizing the way his intelligent design, how he's created things to work, as opposed to what this guy earlier was saying, which is we are the little g gods. And so we're going to assert what we want. We're going to pull the strings. We're going to assert what we want to happen to this. Well, that's kind of how we've gotten into this dilemma of where we find ourselves now in West Texas in farming. It's kind of some man-made ideas of how things work. And following, you know, some larger companies that have control over a lot of our educational system, like Monsanto, they funnel billions of dollars into these tier one research schools, and so then that's who gets to train up, that's who gets to have control over the minds of this next generation. Well, in keeping with what the centurion said, hey, we're a man under God's authority, and so Lord, how did you create this to work? How did you design these things to work? We want to come into agreement with the way that you've made things, because we know that when we do, there's life and peace and abundance, right? I've come that you might have life, and that to the full. So it's not just about our relationship with the Lord. I love how Peter says this. He says, hey, he's given, by his divine power, by his Holy Spirit, he's granted us everything we need for life and godliness. Well, you know, for the longest time, we kind of thought everything about our relationship with Jesus was just about spiritual things, but he gives us supernatural wisdom and supernatural authority to be able to represent him in the natural as well. I love how that works. Maybe I'll bat the ball to Chad.
Well, it goes along with, you know, my journey through the process myself, and having been raised on a farm, not knowing that anything we weren't paying attention to was really what was driving the system. You know, we were paying attention to a lot of things to the best of our ability, but I had no awareness that that's not exactly what we needed to be paying attention to. You know, that from generations of farmers that had come before us. And so, you know, I went to the university, just as you're describing, you know, got some of that great education from the finest universities, you know, certainly in Texas, arguably the world. Came home, put that into practice with a new ambition and a new enthusiasm and, you know, implementing the latest and the greatest, and very quickly realizing, you know what, this is not working exactly the way that I thought that it did and the way that I've been told that it does. What else is really going on? And so, you know, that being the beginning for the real repentance of recognizing, hey, you know what, the way that I thought it was is not really right. So, you know, and understanding that repentance begins with that acknowledgement that what I thought was true is not, and being willing to explore, well, what makes it not so, and how do I change that? And then pressing in for the Lord's direction and guidance to see what to do and then start implementing that process. And so, you know, now being on that journey for 20 years now of uneducating, unexploring the latest and greatest technology, as you will, to start digging deeper into the original context of how things really function and how the Lord created it to work. And then, you know, and then even bouncing all of that back up against, well, you know, what happened when the earth was cursed? And is there redemption? Or, you know, are we just supposed to be stuck with the fact that it's cursed and we can't do anything about it? you know, and then someday it's all going to change, and then, you know, it gets to be redeemed instead of, well, that doesn't really line up with, you know, what Ben just quoted from Romans in regard to, now the sons are supposed to be involved. They're supposed to be manifesting that nature, which is not ruling over one another, but ruling over what the Lord gave them to be ruled over. And so when I look at the context of that in all of the other quotes that Dr. Edwards was referring to in this whole other way of viewing things that aligns with these other systems that most of us have adopted in one way or another, we have adopted those beliefs, that if I know the right answer and I can just enforce my way of doing it on everyone else, well, then it'll all be better, as opposed to, you know, what the Lord has been saying throughout that history is, no, you know, you subject yourselves to my will, which is your sacrifice to the Lord. I'm going to sacrifice my desires for what your desires are, and then love what you have given us and utilize that to love everyone around us, love our neighbors. And so, you know, we don't always know what that looks like, but we can at least, I think, look at it from the perspective of, well, we know what it's not. And, it, you know, if I'm forcing my will upon someone else, or I'm requiring them to do something because I think it's right, well, we could at least, I think, acknowledge that that's not it. So what is opposite of it? And then as we apply that to our practices everywhere else, you know, well, Lord, how did you intend for this to work? And how do we utilize the things that you've given us in a manner that they make everyone else better? And so my journey through farming, you know, that really started opening those avenues to different understandings were, well, I don't really want to just be part of this commodity system where we don't really have any say, and there's no real incentive to do anything different. I mean, if you know, most things are sold based upon what their minimum requirements are. You know, you have a grading system of sorts, no matter what the commodity is, if it's a commodity, and if it meets those minimums, well, then that's it. And everything is based upon that. And so, you know, as we learn about nutritional density and how that has an impact on, you know, the whole system, well, it can't be nutritionally dense if the soil is not functioning pretty well. If the soil is not functioning pretty well and we don't have nutritional density, then whatever's consuming that, whether that be the animals or the humans, you know, it's all lacking. So we realize we have to start at the bottom, let that feed all the way back up. And so how do we do that in a way that is economically viable, that, you know, is certainly not causing harm to anyone else and is actually stewarding what we were entrusted with in a way that provides greater good or love to our neighbors, to those who are around us, those who we are entrusted to see after the needs of. And so as we put all of those things together, that starts creating a totally different picture of the way that we spend our time stewarding that foundational thing, which is the soil. And then in our climate, you know, and I will quote one of the, or not a direct quote from him, but one of the real leaders in this movement being Gabe Brown, stating himself to a very dear friend of all of ours, that, you know, you guys have picked a really tough place to farm. And, you know, and now, you know, Ryan, I know through my conversations with Ryan is going, Lord, why are you sending me to Lubbock, Texas? You know? I mean, of all the places you could send me, why there? And I guess maybe I'm slow, having grown up in the area. You know, I look at lots of places that I'm like, boy, I'm glad I don't have to deal with what they are. But, you know, we are in a, I think most agriculture producers for sure, and really anyone who knows anything about the industry in our area understands that without water, we're in a pretty tough spot. I mean, you know, most agronomic models don't work if you don't have irrigation. Not, I mean, long term, you know, and I mean, and there are some guys, and fortunately I've had the opportunity to work with some guys who are utilizing the resources that they do get in a way that they are being very successful at it without added irrigation. And that's great. I mean, those are the models that we need to be looking at and we need to be learning from, and then understanding how, you know, one of the things that I really feel like the Lord showed me, and, you know, I wish I could say that he had shown me exactly how to do it, but he impressed upon me the concept of we need to be utilizing the resources that we have to get more resources, rather than this exploitation of resources. And I think most producers would agree, just like Ben's reference to the grower there in Oddly, our resources are diminishing. And if we don't figure something out, then we're stuck in this, how do we maximize what we can get until the end? And hope that, you know, between here and the end, we have something that has been established for ourselves. But I think most of them now can see that, hey, this may not even last my lifetime, much less generationally, which we also know is in contrast to everything that the Lord says regarding generationally. The kingdom is at hand, it's within you, and it's from generation to generation. Well, what does that mean? You know what I mean? We've got to be thinking beyond, how can I exploit what we have? And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying, how do we maximize what we have to gain the most before the end, because we can see the end is near. And so that's what frames the whole concept of, well, okay, how do we compile all of that into a system that can meet all of that criteria, so that we are being what we're called to be and being fulfilled in our activities because we're doing that.
Yep. That's awesome, guys. I hope the listeners are as excited as I am when I hear these guys talking. And there is hope, again, not in us, not in men, but hope in the Lord. We got to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about a little more details of specifically what are we looking at. There's some land out here that is looking to come under contract. We're looking for some folks to kind of walk with us in that. And I'll let Ryan speak to kind of the business side of things. But we really want to lay on the table exactly. Because, I mean, we've been talking for a long time. Nothing gets you talkers here. But now it's action time. And that's really why I said, let's get together and talk. Let's talk about the action, talk about what we're doing, what the plan is, what the vision is. There's actually kind of a business model written up. Ryan can speak to that. What are we needing? And the Lord, we're looking to the Lord to be our provider. And there may be others in the community that can walk with us in this and utilize some resources the Lord's given them. So we'll be right back from the break and continue this great conversation with Chad Wall, Richard Smith, and Ryan Burris. Y'all stick with us. I'm Ben Edwards. You're The Cure. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here talking with Richard Smith, Chad Wall, and Ryan Burris. We're excited to be bringing you what the Lord's been bringing us for the last year and a half, and really trying to steward creation better. So I'm going to let Richard kind of wrap up what Chad was kind of talking about there. And then we're going to get into the actual details of what are we doing? What are we talking about? Where's this land? What, give us the details of the business model, that kind of thing, because this is actually coming to fruition and we want y'all to know about it. So, but Rich, kind of wrap up kind of, especially with regards to water, the aquifer, the rain cycle and all that.
That's interesting. You know, Ben, you were talking about the friend that we have in common that farms out in Idaho now. And I went out to Idaho in 88 as a youth minister. And, you know, one of the things you do as a youth minister is you kind of ride along with different folk in the congregation to get to know people. And I was riding around with one of the farmers, and I grew up on a dryland cotton farm in La Mesa. We've talked about that in past interviews, but, you know, with a chicken house where we raised 40,000 pullet chicks up to laying age. But I was, you know, it's a completely different world. You move an hour north here, and all of a sudden they had all this irrigation water. And back in 88, the method of irrigation primarily in Idaho was they were using a form of flood irrigation with ditches. And he has in the back of his pickup, I mean, he said, "Let's go out," and I was expecting a bunch of pipes, you know, that we're gonna put together. He had a bunch of elbows, and he basically just kind of did this suction pull in this irrigation ditch, which was just a flooded irrigation ditch. And then he did this suction pull with that to prime that tube, and then just laid that tube over into the row. And what the water would do is just go down that row and flood that row. Well, we know now I mean, back then, I think we really thought the water, where water was limitless. And they had so much water available there that they could literally flood that ditch. They weren't worried about evaporation, or because they had so much water, they'd flood the ditch. And then that flooded ditch would with those little siphon tubes, would flood each individual row. Well, after about a decade, they started losing a little bit of their, you know, of their well gallons per minute. And so they start moving to pivots, center pivots. And then from there, they started moving to subsurface irrigation. And all over time, you know, recognizing that there are conservation needs that people are putting into place to try to continue to do this. Well, we're just realizing that our resource is not replenishing, and is in fact going away much more quickly than we at first thought. And that's where guys like our common friend there, they're like, I've got a dry well. Well, back in 88, that well was probably used to do this, you know, flood irrigation for cotton. We never thought it was going to run out. So some of the methods that we're looking at now regarding biomimicry and recognizing how God designed things to work is recognizing, hey, you go back 150 years and this was all grass. You know, so for, we talk about how things have always been. Well, not really. I mean, we've not always farmed cotton out here. Before we got here, this was all in grass. And we had, you know, herbivores that were roaming this area in massive numbers, millions, tens of millions, 60 million bison, you know, by in the mid 1850s. Just crazy things you can't even imagine. Herds 5 miles, you know, or 50 square miles, you know, just shoulder to shoulder. But this area, what conserves water the best, and what can utilize rain anytime it comes? Well, I can tell you this, it's certainly not any crop we grow, because sometimes, you know, you'll hear a farmer talk, and it's true. Sometimes you want it to rain and other times you don't. But you never hear a grass farmer not want it to rain. It's like rain can come anytime. I'm glad to have it because that grass can use it any time of the year. It's a crop, if you will, that God designed to work the best in this area. Which, by the way, grains fall into that grass category, and that's one of the things that we're looking at for this particular property, is a concept called pasture cropping, where we literally plant into a perennial pasture a grain crop to be grown throughout the winter months that the animals can get one grazing off of and then come back behind it and harvest it as a wheat crop later. So this one of the things we're going to be doing on this property is utilizing the broad acreage portion of it in a grazing operation with initially sheep and likely chickens of the layer variety pullets to follow up on them, and the goal of which is to increase the pasture sward or the species count and the thickness of growth of the plants. So yeah, we're wanting to restore water cycles, wanting to restore nutrient cycles, the soil health. You know, so it's the goal of that. You know, there's a center pivot there as well. And as Chad was speaking to it earlier, that's a resource that we recognize. We don't want to be reliant on that long term. We want to try to use that resource, that pivot, that center pivot. I think everybody knows what we're talking about when we talk about that. You know, when you fly into Lubbock, you see all those circles. Well, that's an irrigation approach that we call a center pivot in farming. And so what Chad was referring to is let's utilize whatever natural resources we have currently to position ourselves to where we don't need it as much later. And so we're going to be setting systems into place on this particular farm that don't require lots of irrigation over time. It utilizes irrigation, you know, occasionally in very specific points of time, so that we're actually be able to ultimately to restore some water cycling there.
Right, because multi-species roots in the ground and just roots in the ground, period, having something over that dirt all the time, multi-species of that, not only does that help the water be retained when it rains, I mean, you won't get the runoff, you actually soak that thing in. but it, that growth of vegetation, all different kinds of vegetation. Actually, we talked about this on another show, and we can go back and listen to that, guys, because we got to get to Ryan. But these plants actually put stuff out of their leaves into the air that goes up in the atmosphere, and the water condenses on that, and rain comes.
There you go.
I mean, it's all integrally related. The soil becomes more like a sponge that holds the water, and that eventually replenishes the aquifer, but those plants spit out stuff that causes the rain to come. It's amazing. It's God's way of doing it. Will blow Yuvari Noah Harari, whatever his name, out of the water, and Klaus Schwab and all these guys.
If we can just agree with it.
Yeah, that's it. Get in agreement with it. Hear clearly and get in agreement with it and steward it. So, Ryan, I'm going to let you go with, you kind of wrap this last 15, 20 minutes, whatever we got left. But I want the folks to know, I mean, how'd this kind of come together? But then specifically, what's the business plan? You're the developer. You're kind of the brains behind this thing. We got the farmers here, not that y'all aren't brainy too, but I really want the people to see there's a vision here. It's more than just an agri-hood. It's more than just a farm. It's this whole concept. So kind of wrap that all up for us.
Yeah, happy to. Wanted to dovetail a little bit on what Rich was saying, that, you know, through our research, it was showing that 90% of the withdrawals from the aquifer come from agriculture. So, you know, living in our homes, we can do that better. But if we really want to address the issue that's staring at us, we need to look at doing some different things, like Rich and Chad are talking about. And there was an article in the you can go to theconversation.com, and it says that their studies show that subsidies put farmers on a treadmill, and they're working harder to produce more while draining the primary resource supporting their livelihood. Then you bolt on government payments, create a vicious cycle of overproduction, which intensifies water use. Subsidies encourage farmers to expand and buy expensive equipment to irrigate larger areas. So it is a cycle, man, that they're talking about. And what God has led us to, bringing all of us from all over the world to Lubbock, Texas, is a particular 825 acres just west of Ropesville. And what's interesting about this property is how God led us to it. So in my experience, I have, you know, we're seeing God move. He's bringing us all together. We're having these conversations. There's a lot of synergy there. Chad and I are talking, and I said, Chad, listen, we have to start. You know, you can sit on the sidelines forever pontificating on how it needs to be, not to say that's what he was doing, because he wasn't. He's in the action. But for us particular and what we're talking about doing, we have to start. And so Chad found 80 acres, and it's just nondescript 80 acres in the middle of GMO cotton sprayed with Monsanto. And that's what it was and is. And so we put that under contract. And then from that, Chad and I were on the phone one day looking at our computers. He says, "Who owns that big track right across the street?" So we pulled it up. Chad called her. She knew him. That was interesting. He said, "Oh, their daughters danced together." So they had that connection. They started talking. And then within a few minutes, she's speaking the exact same language that we're talking about here today. Her property, she at great expense to her, it's cost her. And that's what doing the right thing usually will cost you in the short run. But she has prepared her property. So the value add of this property is that 675 acres of that property is ready to go into organic today. And when you talk about finding a unicorn in Lubbock County, and this is actually next door in Hockley, but any of that Tri-County area, that is one. I asked her, I said, "Who else is doing this?" She said, "That in Hockley, that we're it." So God led us to that 80, which I was always scratching my head, why this 80? And then that led us to the 825. So to be specific about the plan, what we want to do initially is just do what we know works on the farming side. And, you know, Chad and Rich can talk quite a great length about that. But what I call the blocking and tackling. Rich mentioned that as well. And then on the rural residential development side, we have some ideas about how to do that differently. So we're exploring that as well. And I'm not going, I'm speaking high level. We can go into more specifics, but we are what we're looking for are for people that are in alignment with us. And we're raising money to buy the farm and then have enough proceeds for the next 3 years. From the outsider looking in, I've noticed things in life that sometimes you can be too close to something, but I'm not a farmer, and I'm talking to them about the economics and the opportunities. And usually when we buy development land, there's no income on the land at all. So the fact that we can offset some of our expenses with some farming is phenomenal. And I know from their perspective, they're looking at it from just, you know, how do you make it viable just from farming? But we have a two-pronged strategy where there's the rural residential development side and the farming. And so, and they're frothy. It just, if you look at it from the typical ROI, but what we have talked about, collectively as a group is a new return on investment. And, you know, the big aspect, I mean, who knows what's going to happen, but we're starting to see some of the chinks in the armor of these complicated systems, distribution systems that we rely on every single day. And our food, you know, our most precious resource, we have given control over to the governments and to the corporations. And that's not working out for us. That was a bad exchange. And so it's time to take it back. And that's what we're talking about doing locally, is taking that back locally on a small scale. Let's prove up this model. Chad has some phenomenal testing that he does in his business. And so we're going to test the soils. We're going to test the aquifers just to see if we, you know, there's a debate as to whether or not you can recharge that aquifer. We're going to test it because we're going to be improving our soils. And we'll see, does that actually help our gallons per minute on, there's 14 wells on this property, a 300 acre pivot. And so we're going to be testing those. And the opportunity really is for people to come alongside of us. We're looking for people of faith, action, and vision for organic restoration. And that is, the acronym for that is FAVOR. My good friend of mine came up with that this morning, just a real brilliant lady. We were talking about it. And so people that can see the problem, that are not afraid, but in fact, the opposite. They want to stand up and be part of the solution that come along. We can give y'all more information if anyone's interested on this particular development. But that's the high level of where we are. And I will add one thing to the story about Gabe Brown. I went to lunch with one of the most esteemed organic farmers there in Lubbock, and he told me that story about Gabe Brown, and I walked away, and I like Chad said, I was like, Lord, what are you doing to me? Like, why would you bring me to? I was living in New Zealand. I mean, if you just drop a seed out of your car, you know, it'll be a tree in like 2 days. I mean, it's the most vibrant, lush environment for farming, and you know, God's leading us there. And I asked him, and I say this humbly, you know, but my experience hearing from the Lord is that still small voice. And he said, well, two things, Ryan. He said, one, I'm the God that brings streams in the desert. And number two, it's about to start raining there. And I have proof of this because I left a voicemail with a friend to that extent. And that was back in August. And since then, well, the next week, y'all got 4 inches of rain. And that story has nothing to do with me. That this is all for the glory of God, and God is doing something. And I think he's just reassuring his children because he loves us. He loves to speak to us. I mean, that's what a relationship's all about. It's back and forth. And just encouraging all of us that we're on the right track, keep going. And I believe Lubbock is going to be blessed for stepping out with the first heartbeat law before the state of Texas did. I think a blessing is coming for this area. And I think God told me as much. So we're excited about, you know, the opportunities that are in front of us. We're excited about taking back what is ours. You know, this global initiative is a spawn of Satan. We want to go local and empower the men and women and children,
of this generation, generation to come. By the way, the name of the farm is Generation Farm, you know, and so that's the idea, that you can change one generation within a generation. And that's what our hope is, to get to take that authority that has been given to us, to who he has all authority on heaven and earth, and that has been given to us, to take that authority and to wield that against the curse on the land and these systems that are in place. And that is, by the way, if anyone, you know, hears this and maybe, you know, may be in the system, and it may sting and it may sound like we're, you know, that we're not being loving. That's not our intent. You know, I'm involved in those systems as a real estate developer. There's certain parts of the system that until there is a change, we are going to have to walk in. And what we're talking about doing is making a couple of steps, taking a couple steps outside the system, so that we can take that noose that is on so many people's neck as they are trying to pay their bills or trying to, I mean, there people are under an immense amount of pressure now. Now with inflation, it's harder to make money than it's ever been. I mean, we go on and on and on, but God is offering his way, you know, is to walk in that authority. So we don't have to be afraid, you know, and that's the greatest gift that we have is his word. And I've been getting a lot of revelation about that. I will say this is just kind of a side shout out to the Lord and for his glory, that if you're feeling, if you're struggling and you don't feel like you know exactly who you are, you can take the word of God. There's so many I am statements. Matter of fact, I'll send it to you, Ben, if you want to put it somewhere where people can print it out and read it out. Just read those I am statements out loud each day. And watch the power of the Holy Spirit manifest. See, everybody has the Holy Spirit, but not everybody has the power. And that power is that authority and that power that's been given to us. And we can tap into that by just the rhema, the spoken word of God. And that's what will get us through this season that we may be going through right now. Maybe God gives us a reprieve, and this is all about just letting us know that he meant what he said when he said what he meant. But we may be going into a season where we're going to need to come together and we're going to need the supernatural power of God. And so anyway, hopefully that's helpful. We'd love anyone that's passionate about what we're talking about today. Love to lock arms with you. This is a community that we need to come together and do this together. This is not about any one man or woman. And we're just excited about the opportunity.
That's great, Ron. Thank you. Is there a way for folks to contact you? I know that was high level and that was awesome. But if someone's interested, wants maybe a little more detail, like the executive summary I saw the other day, do you have an email or something you're willing to give out? Or people can contact our office and I can get them in touch with you. info@veritasmedical.com is our email.
It's Ryan with an E, R-Y-E-N, the letter B as in Bravo, @icloud.com.
We're out of time, Chad. I'm sorry. We will have a part two, let y'all farmers, but seriously, for the audience, go back on the website, go to the agricultural section. Gabe Brown, Joe Salatin, Chad Wall, Jeremy Brown, Richard Smith, a lot of great information there. I mean, we could talk all day about how to steward this land. It's awesome. Ryan, thank you for all you're doing, for taking the lead. Thank you for that word, that good word that will bring life and peace. And just a little side note, we did open the Merc. That's our store next to the clinic where we're selling some local produce. It's produced by some of these farmers I want to support. So there's a community looking for local guys producing and gals producing high-quality stuff, and they're ready to support y'all. And
just visited with another one this morning who was cleaning some of his einkorn, getting ready for us.
So We've got producers, we've got customers. We're trying to connect the two at the Merc, that's short for Mercantile. Y'all come check that out. And then next week we'll be back with another great show, and we may have to do a part two, guys. So thank y'all again for all you're doing, and thank y'all for tuning in today. We'll be back next week with another show. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.